This is a little background noise for those who are committing themselves. We left off in the previous year, we were discussing the big breakthrough of the Ketos in our Sugya, where even though under normal circumstances, we assume Yush, Lavidas, Lavidush, and the corollary of that statement would be that Nichusu, Afreya, Lo, Rinon. And for this reason, Tosafot Bava Metzia writes that I cannot just take somebody's property without asking them, even though they find out they'll be more than happy with it. But the breaks all the rules is mitzvah. The Varm Shah mitzvah somehow is not subject to any of the above. And what was the source for that idea? How do we know that that's true? So it was based on a few different sources. One was the Shittas HaRambam, where the Rambam speaks about vis-a-vis Hafreshes Truma. The Rambam says that somebody can be mafresh truma on somebody else's behalf, even without a formal mina shalichus, unlike what it appears to be in the Gemara. As long as when the Baal HaBayis eventually finds out about it, he's okay with it. He doesn't protest. He's actually pretty satisfied with the kalachetz yafos, etc. So that would be okay. So we were wondering, how could that work? Isn't that a classic nichus l'mafer lo amrina? Then we had another Gemara Neirvin that spoke about doing pitul reshus. The purposes of circumventing a Zeravin, you can do a bit of a shos even on Shabbos, because if you would have known about it on Friday, you would have been happy to be about the shos on Friday. But you didn't know about it on Friday. It's the chusma fail armina. And we had the Gemara in Kedushin about the person being a Kaddish and Isha, something that didn't belong to him, and then the owner comes in and says, "Oh, by the way, I'm very happy that you used it. That's very nice. But for my smishas at the time of the Kedushin, the owner didn't even know about it." So we had time and time again this idea developing. That there seems to be an underlying theme that's making at least as an exception to the rule of the chusma mafer lo amrina that dvarim shel mitzvah. Some dvarim shel mitzvah break all the rules. And the question is why? What is that based on? So we began to discuss the intricacies of yish lo midas, because that's ultimately where the sugya begins and ends. And when it came to yish lo midas, so we bumped into a very, very startling shittas Rashi. That Rashi, actually it was a Rashi in Bava Kamma, where Rashi says, what is the source for Yush altogether? As strange as it is, there's no Gemara that says, at least according to many Rishonim, there's no Gemara explicitly that says, what's the source for Yush? So Rashi comes up with an interesting idea. Rashi says, Yush is learned after the sugya of Shatfa Nahar, that if a river overflows or the tsunami comes and takes the guy's furniture downstream, it flows it out to sea. So the Gemara says that you're allowed to take it. You find it on the other end of the river, the other end of the ocean, you're allowed to take it, no questions asked. That's Avudu Menami Kalodim. So Rashi says, oh, the reason for that must be because obviously the owner was Mesiyahish from it. So the Ramban and others challenge Rashi. This literally left off on Wednesday. The Ramban with this challenge Rashi, wait a second. The Gemara seems pretty clear at the beginning of the second Berakah of Metzia that Shams for Nohar is actually not working with the parameters of Yush. Proof positive, Yush l'midas lo have a Yush. If you don't know about it, so then the fact you find out later is not going to help. When it comes to Shofar Nahar, that is not true. When it comes to Shofar Nahar, the Gemara says explicitly, the guy never finds out about it. The guy finds out about it 20 years from now, so that's still considered to be okay. That's fine. Wait a second. If you're telling me that Shofar Nahar and Yush are synonymous, Shofar Nahar is serving as the source for Yush, how in the world could Shofar Nahar work as in a sense in Yichus L'mafreya? How could it be when the guy finds out in 10 years from now that the river overflowed, so L'mafreya, it's considered to belong to the other fellow? If a Yush itself, it doesn't work. So how in the world could Yush be derived from Shofar Nahar, given that very basic characteristic, they differ so greatly? So there is a suggestion that's made by the Sefer Nachlas David. Nachlas David was a David Tevel, one of the Tamidim of Volozhin, the early Tamidim of Chai Volozhin. So in the Sefer Nachlas David, he suggests the following fascinating insight. It's almost like a Chakira, like a pre-Briska Chakira. It's Volozhin, yes, this is the part of Brisk. It's a pre-Briska Chakira. So, we call him Chai Briska, but the truth is that 95% of his Torahs are really from Volozhin. When he was the Kohar Hashim in Volozhin, when he came to Briska, he was the Rav. But when he was the Rosh Hashim, when he was ready in Volozhin. So the Nachlas David suggests that one could raise the following question as to what is the nature of this whole idea that Yirsh Tamafer Lamina, Yirsh Lamidas, Lav Yirsh, Nichus Tamafer Lamina, what ultimately is the deficiency in Nichus Tamafer Lamina? So one can really understand it one of two ways. One can understand that in the halachic realm, there's a din that whatever the halacha requires, nichusa. Now, nichusa is needed for Yiddish purposes, nichusa may be needed for bittul chametz purposes, nichusa may be needed to allow people to use your property, nichusa may be needed for minhag shlichut. I give you a list a mile long of where the halacha speaks about nichusa, about the owner being satisfied, the owner expressing agreement, consent to what's going on. So this principle of nichusa was only said, it wasn't said to Mafreya. Not everything is razzle-dazzle in Mafreya. Not everything works to Mafreya. So this particular area of halacha just does not work to Mafreya. For Lamina, for halacha concerns. But maybe that's not the pshat. Maybe the reason why Yichus Mafreya Lamina is because you don't really know. You don't really know for certain. You think you know. I'm going to do something now. I'll smach that the person is going to find out later. And when he finds out later, he's going to tell it. We have a lot of cheshbonus. We like to look to the future. We live in with a mentality. We have to know what's going to be tomorrow. We have to know the weather for the next 10 minutes. We have to know when it's going to snow in the next week and a half. We got everything. We got to know when every single front. And that's what we get so nervous when we're faced with a situation of suffering. Our generation doesn't do well with fakes. That's part of the reason why emotionally we didn't do so well with the pandemic. The pandemic is one big suffering. Fakes on top of fakes on top of fakes. So we it's hard for us to wrap around, you know, around that. In days gone by, people, everything was fakes. Nobody knew what tomorrow's gonna bring. Tomorrow's gonna be a war, tomorrow's gonna be a pogrom, tomorrow's gonna be a plague, tomorrow's gonna... That was Darkish Alam. But we've been so Baruch Hashem so blessed that for the most part, so we got a pretty good trajectory. We know where we're going for winter break, and we know what we're doing for the summer, we know what we're doing for next summer, we know we're going for the 6 years. We have all pretty much mapped out, give or take. So we get, you know, shocked a little bit. So that's what Yir Shlomi Das tells us is that you don't really know. You think that when the guy finds out, he's going to be happy about it, and therefore the mafreya. It may be, but maybe not. And therefore, the halacha doesn't permit you to do something, so to speak, of a suffering. The halacha doesn't permit you to do something, even though it appears, l'fidarech ha-teva, there's going to be a nichus of mafreya, but since there's a lack of certainty here, it's that lack of certainty that ultimately is what's undermining Nichus L'Mafreya. So is the root of the problem of Yir Shlomi Das a pure halachic root? Namely, even if you had Ruach HaKadosh, even if you knew with absolute crystal clear, 100%, you knew the future, it doesn't matter. The din is that, for halachic reasons, Nichus just doesn't work. Not everything in the world works for Mafreya. But do I say that the real root of the problem is a lack of clarity? You think you have it, but not necessarily. Says that Achlis David, that seems to be what the Shittas Rashi is all about. Rashi tells us that, of course, Yir Shlomi Das will have a Yush. But every once in a while, even Yir Shlomi Das have a Yush. You know when? When there's absolute 100% certainty. When it's not guesswork, it's not like a statistics, it's not like a probability, it's certainty. Certainty, I mean, again, you know, in a certain sense, nothing's absolute certain, but certainty enough for the area of Halacha. That I'm certain enough that I know what the future is. V'chi ha'gavna, tacha yushlam afreya works. Tacha yushlam idas works. Yuchus l'mafreya tacha works. Give me an example. What's an example of something? So this is where the halacha draws the following distinction. If you want to know what the underlying reason, why you're allowed to take shafanar, why am I allowed to take somebody's item that's floating down the Mississippi? So the answer is because he was misyayish from it. And why am I allowed to take his dollar bill if I find it on the street? It's because he was Messiah Shavit. But there's a huge difference between the two. In the case of the Shatfa Nahar, it is so clear that there is Yush. There is nothing to negotiate. Nobody is going to see their furniture going down the Mississippi, I mean, it's the olden days, and say, I'm going to go follow it. I'm going to go run down to New Orleans to pick it up at the end. It's not happening. It's for sure part of when that ball goes off to the Atlantic Ocean and it passes the lifeguards. It's not coming back. You're not going to go find it. It's absolute 100% certainty that the game is over. So when we know for a fact that the game is over, we have no qualms, says the Nachos. We have no hesitations in saying that Yush L'midas have a Yush. It's not that we are opposed on pure halachic grounds to Yush L'midas have a Yush. We are opposed to it on, in a certain sense, Metzias. This halach is driven by the Metzias. And when you have a situation of Ados, even a bayi comes around and says, Yush Lomi Das, have a Yush in the case of Ados. Therefore, we have no hesitation deriving the etzem parisha of Yush from Shatfa Nahar, because Shatfa Nahar is based on Yush. even though it's true that Shafinorin dropping a couple of dollars part ways in terms of whether Nichus the Mafreya Amina, that's a technical, that's a detail. But the underlying principle behind both arguments in Achos Dabar is basically Din of Yush. It's just that one is a certain Yush and one is a probable Yush. And a certain Yush lends itself even to being the Mafreya. That's the breakthrough of Achos Dabar. So Lachari, that seems to be what the Ketzais is driving at as well. And the Ketzais tells us that the Dvarim Shel Mitzvah break all rules. Dvarim Shel Mitzvah, everybody comes around and says, Nichus Mafreya Amrinan. Why is that? So apparently, what the Ketzais is saying, it's almost like a halachic, a shkafik, a kind of a thing. If you mean to walk into your house and say, you know, I'm gonna take a cup of soda, and I'm fairly sure that you're okay with it, I'm probably, in my assessment, that you're probably okay with it. Probably is not enough for Nichus Mafreya. But when I walk with the shul, I take your talis, the Dvarim Shel Mitzvah, to quote our Gemara, Nichalei L'inish Tameiv Mitzvah Amon, almost like a category of a chazocha. We spoke about this principle a couple of weeks ago. The difference is between what Chazal described as a rove and as a chazocha. A rove means a probability. It could be a pretty good probability. It's something that we're really not all that worried about. And we could paskin kol terakula almost based on probabilities. But when we're dealing with probabilities, remember we mentioned in Hochem HaMonach HaRov, you can't take away a person's money based on probability, but you can based on chazokas. Chazokas are the next level. Chazokas are a statement of reality. Chazokas is a certain, almost like a natural truth about the world. One of the natural, we gave you an example a couple of weeks ago, that if I have a dintara with you and I want to be motzimah based on Rov, you can't do it. But chazokas I can. What was the example of chazokas? The Gemara says in Bavavasa Defei, if I say to you that I lent you $1,000 and you claim that you repaid the loan before the loan was due, the Gemara says that's an absurd taina. That's a ridiculous claim. That's meaningless. And therefore, I'm going to be entitled to get repaid. Why? Because halavai shir for other people. People don't pay up loans before. When was the last time you called your mortgage company and said, you know what? I'd love to pay. Maybe that's not such a good example. Okay. When was the last time you owed somebody $1,000? You know what? I'm going to go pay it earlier before people tend halavai. People, there's a reason why on April 14th people are scrambling to try to get their taxes in order. How come nobody did it 6 months before? Perhaps people are not generally running to. Again, may not be the best example either. So bear with me for the amount of the examples. But basically, the rule is halavai shi for other mizmanai. So the poskim explains that when you deal with the chazaka, it's not even the latest asofik. It's not that there's a realistic chance that something's going to be any different. Nichle l'inish t'meh mitzvah b'mamoneh is almost like a chazocha. It's like there's something inside a person, inside the essence of a Jew, is l'meven mitzvah. People want to do mitzvahs. People are happy about doing mitzvahs. Again, within boundaries, as long as my sefer Torah doesn't get ripped, so don't get ruined. We spoke about the details of this in the beginning of the sugya. But in situations where the chazak applies, and the chazak literally takes on a degree of certainty. Since it takes on a degree of certainty, this is no longer subject to the chisaron of nichus l'mafreya l'aminan. And the same way that Rashi said that by shofar nohar, you could say nichus l'mafreya l'aminan because it's absolute certainty. By dvarim shel mitzvah, it's absolute certainty as well. One could perhaps, if one wants to take this over like a little bit to the halachic slash hashkafic level, this is almost, it's what came with the famous Rambam writes it, it was Gerishin, the Rambam's actually based in Rambam of Basra, where the Rambam describes the din of kfil a get. How do you have this phenomenon that kfil a such yomar rotzani by a get? The guy says he doesn't want to give a get, so we exert a little bit of pressure again, leaving out the details, only what pressure is permitted both in halacha and by the government. Secular law, we're not talking about any details, I'm giving a free for all for to beat up people right now, but there is such a concept called kfil a such yomar rotzani. What is it based on? At the end of the day, the Torah says he has to give the get midaitas. What do you mean kfil a such? How could that work? So the Rambam explains, because deep in the recesses of a Jewish heart is to do the right thing. Everybody wants to do the right thing. Everyone wants to do mitzvahs. So we get bogged down with things. We get sidetracked with things. So sometimes you need the basin to kind of peel away some of the external layers. But in your depth of your soul is nichle l'mevi mitzvah. That's what a person wants to do. Who doesn't want to do that? So notwithstanding, the Rav explained that what's the source for this idea that nichle l'mevi, what's the source? How do Chazal understand this somehow, this psychology? If I'm not mistaken, I think the Rav explained this based on the famous Gemara in Nid about the Malach, that before a person enters into this world, the Kodesh Baruch Hu makes you swear that you're going to keep the mitzvahs. So that's the starting point. The starting point of every person is, I'm going to do the Ratzon Hashem. We get bogged down, we get sidetracked, this world. But in our panemius, that's what we really want to do. So since everybody agree. If you don't really want to do that, then you weren't given an entry ticket into this world. So for the fact that you were nishbati v'kayem alas, you were nishba already. So that shows that's where your starting point is. So that starting point creates almost this chazok of nechla nishma mitzvah mayne. To such an extent that halachically we view nichusa the mitzvah through the same lens as the nichusa of shafanar. It's all really the same. It's all the absolute certainty. And under those circumstances, of course, this whole shtibul Torah, the Ketzoris, is all predicated on the Nachman. And Nichus L'Mefreya, Lo Amrinan, ultimately is a deficiency of Tzias. That's a Mechidish. If you read the Gemara itself, you wouldn't necessarily walk away with that idea. That's probably why the Ramban didn't like Rashi's Pshat. Many of the Shem didn't approve of Rashi's Pshat. Then he didn't like only a Tzias, so to speak, oriented statement. Not necessarily, absolute halacham. But Rashi seems to be saying that Shafanar and what the Rambam and the Ktzais is saying here, Lagabi Nichus LeMitzvah, seem to be the same underlying principle, that when you can take it out of the realm of just a probably into a certainty of the Chazakah, so then you're able to overcome any concerns of Nichus LeMitzvah. Since we all learn Pesachim, although sometimes hard to remember, we all learn Pesachim, the Ktzais takes this entire theory of his and plugs it into a potential unbelievable kula. An earth-shattering kula. Ktzais himself is afraid to invoke this kula, Maisa, but he suggests it as a possible sort of law based on the following. It's a principle we've talked about multiple times already. The Gemara says that the bittul chametz cannot be done after the zman issa. The game's over. If you want to be bittul chametz at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or Pesach, you can't. It's not sure. How can you do that? Said you cannot possibly do that. Achas barisur, it's yatzah b'shutso. It's not shalom, not b'shutso. Whatever the reasons are, hopefully Mitzvah will get to the above. We'll fine tune a little bit, but the Gemara is very, very clear. So says themselves, what would the din be in the following circumstances? What if a person forgot to do bittul chametz? Mamish forgot. Not that he decided I'm actively not going to do bittul chametz. Mamish totally forgot the bittul chametz at 10 o'clock in the morning. But it's clear to us that if he would have known that he had chametz here, if he would have remembered, of course he would have done it. What from you doesn't do bittul chametz at 10 o'clock in the morning? The only reason why he didn't do it is that he didn't know about it. He forgot his replacement, he forgot his business. But nice, he forgot about it. He comes and tells us, wait a second. If he would have known about the chametz, he would have for sure been mevatel, but he didn't know about it. So when he finds out about the chametz, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, he remembers that he has chametz. Oh, the mafreya! Let's make the bittul chametz bichal back to 10 o'clock in the morning. Why not? Our initial reaction to that is, that's no good. That's a nichus mafreya lo yamrinan. It's very nice, but that's like the person who dropped the dollar bill, didn't know about it, and then finds out an hour later. Don't say the yush comes back to mafreya. The yush is only chametz and lahaba. It says it tells that would have been the din, except for Mahosh Kotara. It's from Shal Mitzvah. It's the Chametz by Rabbi Matze. I'm trying to avoid by Rabbi Matze. Oh, look at this. What you're trying to do is avoid violating a very, you're doing a Dvarim Shal Mitzvah. You're doing a Dvarim Shal Mitzvah. Wait a second. Dvarim Shal Mitzvah, then you chus from a friend, Kedam Rinan. Oh, okay. Oh, we're getting there in a second. Yeah, but we're how far the Ktzos goes. So the Ktzos says, he's not so sure that's not going to work. He says, everything that he put together, he thinks that you work. I bet the Gemara says, Pem Moly, it doesn't work. What's the shine? The Gemara says, black and white, it's not going to work. This is, no, it doesn't. What the Gemara says is that if the person could have done it before, he knew about it before, but didn't bother doing it before, that's already not enough. Let's say the Marshal, I know that I lost the money now. And I said, I'm not Messiah. And then 6 hours later, I say, I'm Messiah. That doesn't go to Mafreya. That's not Nichus Mafreya. Nichus Mafreya means I didn't know about the whole background. I didn't know that you separated Truma. I didn't know you took my items from Mekadosh Shinish. I didn't know all those facts. When I find out about them later, if it's Dvarim Shel Mitzvah, then Nichus Mafreya can't Amrina. So the Ktzos says, the Gemara is not against me. It says, the Ktzos, he's Moideh that the Nimtzeh Dov Zeh B'Poskim. He says, nobody ever heard of such a thing. It doesn't appear in the Gedalia Poskim. So he says, he's not going to posket it out, right? But there's a sniff lachol, maybe. But the chard is one thing that I think is clear, and the ha'aris and the banav of the Ktzais, point this out, I think it's crystal clear, that even in this chiddush golem of the Ktzais, which is again highly questionable, This only makes sense if you have a certain take on what Bittul Chametz is. As we spoke about many, many times, and we'll continue to talk about, there's a major, major machleksim in the Rishonim, what Bittul Chametz is all about. According to Tosfos, Bittul Chametz is a chalais in the imam, and it's called Hefker. It's almost the same, almost like selling your chametz to somebody. I'm transferring ownership of my chametz to an ownerless entity called Hefker, and that's why I'm not over by Rabbi Matzah, because it's Shokho Yataraya, Taraya Shalachayru. This is somebody else's quote-unquote chametz. It doesn't make a difference as Taisus, whether there's somebody else is a guy, somebody else is a hektesh, somebody else is a hefker. It's a dini mamlis monetary transaction, transferring the chametz out of my rishus. It would be very, very hard to believe that would work for mafreya. Nichusul mafreya means that when you have areas of halacha, it's not a chalois. I'm not transferring anything. I'm simply revealing my das. That's what the word means. Dichuso mafreya. Yush is just, I'm just revealing. This is what I think about the topic. By minish lichos, this is what I think. I'm happy about you being my shaliach. I'm happy about this item being mekabel hakshel letuma. I'm happy that I'm finally willing to concede that I'm a shayish on this item. Those are not transferings of dinim mamonos. To say a transferring of dinim mamonos from mafreya means I wasn't Mekadosh Isha today. I give her the ring next week. But if I would have known about it today, I would have been happy to be married to her as of today. That's a joke. That's like that the fish is like a joke. I would have put on, if I would have known about it, I would have put on tefillin earlier. But that's a maisa, no chastrolin. That doesn't work. At best, even if we're not sure about, nichusa the mitzvah, nichusa mafrei amrinan by nichusa the mitzvah. But that's in sugyas of nichusa. So Lambasha, what's the Ktzos talking about? When the Ktzos invokes the principle of Nichusa Mefreya when it comes to Bittul Chametz, that makes sense in the mindset of like Lambasha the Ramban. We mentioned this in the past, that the Ramban understood that Bittul Chametz is almost like Yush. That was the Moshe that the Ramban gives. The guy's Mesiach Daitai from his Chametz. He doesn't care about it anymore. It's already, it's like Avudu Bimenu already. It's lost from it. That's a very Nichusa kind of a topic. Or maybe rashing the Rambams, you're making it offer diara, davish ein b'tzarek klal in the chashivas, those kinds of things. Those are not chalaisim, those are not haknos, those are not dinim and dinim ominous. Those kinds of things maybe could be entertained the possibility of doing them afreya. Again, the Ktzais doesn't really paskel a maisa, we're going to let somebody get away with this, but he throws it in. If you have other tzadim, so maybe you can rely on this. But again, this would only work vis-a-vis Bittul Chametz, and it would only work vis-a-vis Bittul Chametz in a situation, according to those Rishonim, who say Bittul Chametz is not a real hakuna. So with this background, I think, Ari, am I privy to tell the story? Okay, I was hoping that you'd be here in time for the story. So maisa shaya kachon. The very, very famous saga of Mechivas Chometz that occurred back in Paramus days. It was, we had already finished Mechivas Chometz earlier in the day, Kedas Chedin, and somebody who shall remain nameless, okay, who walks in to my house at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, had forgot to do Mechivas Chometz, right? This is not Mechivas Chometz in Europe. That was a different one. That was a different Mechivas Chometz saga from Minsk. This is Mechivas Chometz in Paramus, New Jersey. And for someone that forgot to do Mechivas Chometz, it was 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Gevalt, what do you do? So all of a sudden the bell started, started ringing about the Ktzos. Well, according to the Ktzos, maybe Shasa Chagondol, you can still fix it up now. Wait a second. Even according to the Ktzos, who himself wasn't making, even under the Ktzos, that'll work vis-a-vis Bittul Chametz. That'll work vis-a-vis Mechiras Chametz. It can't be Meichi Chametz to my friend. If I would have known that it was, I forgot this, I'm my Chametz, I'm going to sell it to my friend. That's a joke. That's a Chametz film to my friend. That's for sure not going to work. So the best absolute case scenario you could pull off here would be a Bittul Chametz. A Bittul Chametz to Mefreya is not going to help you much. It means maybe it'll help you with their Raisa, but the first Mishnah in Tzachim says, both get the Chametz, you have to get rid of Chametz, you have to get rid of your Chametz. You're not allowed to leave Chametz around the house, that's just this potel. That's a Dimid Rabbanon, either a Gezeira to buy your rug, Gezeira Shem Yavaliach, whatever the lumdus of the first month and a half of Kol Boker was. So of course, Midir Rabbanon, you have to get rid of your Chametz. And the truth is that Bittul is not really the issue here, because it was probably Mavata the Chametz the night before. I don't want to ruin the punchline, okay? So our initial reaction was, Gevalt, this is terrible, this is a disaster. You can't do Mechira Lamafreya, and the Bittul, you have maybe a problem there. According to non-Ktzos people, you have a problem there. I see, and even according to Ktzos, a problem there. But it's a disaster, everything. But Baruch Hashem, the good news was If you have to pick a year to forget to do Bechirus Chametz, that was the year. You know why? It was an Erev Pesach, like this coming year. It was Erev Pesach Chalas B'Shabbos. So the Bechirus Chametz was done in the morning of Friday, all right? That's the binnik to do it early in the day on Friday. We shouldn't get mixed up with other years. But the Chametz is not also Vanoi yet. The Chametz doesn't become Eino B'Shus until the following morning. Harai, I'm going to eat Chalas today. I'm making Lechemesh B'Chalas tonight. I'm eating breakfast tomorrow morning. My Meshal should have said 9 o'clock in the morning. So the Chametz is not also Vanoi yet. So I can still sell it now at 5 o'clock. So believe it or not, we did a Mechiris Chametz, right? We coordinate a special Mechiris Chametz, a private, unique Mechiris Chametz on behalf of those individuals who had forgot to do the normal Mechiris Chametz. On a regular year, that would have been a royal disaster. A regular year, I don't even think the Ktzos could have saved you in this one, because a bit of a Mafraya, maybe, with a lot of Deichach, Shiktos himself wasn't even willing to say Lamaisa, but a Mechir of a phrase is off the radar screen. So if you got to mess up, this is a good year to mess up. So if you want to make a mistake, this is a good year to do it. But otherwise, try to make sure you do the Bittul Chametz before the right time. So this really sets the stage. So next week, it sets the stage for when is that moment of truth of getting rid of one's Chametz. So we know it has something to do with Erev Pesach. That we know. Tashbis b'yom harishon. We know means Erev Pesach. And we know from Achila that's something to do with the word Chatzos. But we're not quite sure what does that mean. Does that mean before Chatzos, after Chatzos, after Chatzos, all the above, none of the above? What exactly are the parameters in terms of the time of the mitzvah Tashbis? So hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem, starting on Tuesday, it's going to bring back things that we spoke about in the past, about what Tashbis is, because hopefully, as we'll see, what Tashbis is and when Tashbis is are very, very much linked to one another. Hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem on Tuesday, we'll begin the new Sunday. Okay, Shabbos.
Thank you.